Before we enter the house, have a look back across the road at the stonework that surrounds the old Dundee post office. It's no longer a post office, having been various things since, such as a nightclub, offices, shops. Carved into stone are two avenging postal angels standing guard over documents and stamps.
The rich detailing was the very height of architectural fashion at the time it was built, and was designed by Walter Wood Robertson. It shows the high esteem reserved for the postal service at the time. The sculptures of angels on the facade are very detailed in the Franco-Italian Renaissance style. The one on the left holds a post horn and a letter, a hand outstretched to take money for your parcel to your gran, and the one on the right holds thunderbolts to represent the telegraph department and the sheer speed at which ideas can travel. It is an ornate building with a plethora of columns and pilasters, strings and cornices, square windows and circular-headed windows, dormers, domes, turrets and vases, carving and sculptures. Further up are griffins.
And the coat of arms for Slytherin. The unicorn and the lion are depicted as being caged here, as they were still dangerous in the wild in Scotland at the time.
There still exists an innovative system of pressurised pipes that originate from the DC Thompson building and go under the house. These were used to transport messages, money, biscuits and documents to their secondary office on Bank Street. However, there were issues with infestations and the pipes were abandoned and replaced with email in 2004. Let's enter the house via the wrought iron gate.
This publicly accessible cemetery was once a common meeting place and socialising space for the city. It is also home to the thousands of victims of the Black Death buried here between 1585 and 1620. The plague pits were subsequently reopened for those killed by the Spanish influenza pandemic in 1918. Right at the entrance to the house, we have the resting place of Colonel Mustard from Cluedo.
He is Alexander Mustard, who you can see depicted on the Queen Victoria statue, holding a ship. He was the original inspiration for Colonel Mustard, becoming well known for leading various colonial missions in India and in Africa, and having his capers serialised by DC Thompson in their newspapers.
Many of the tombstones are made from sandstone, which is why they've worn away in bad weather. As a child, my grandmother used to bring us here for a walk, and to read the different stones and carvings. This is still an integral part of a Dundee childhood.
Also buried here is Willie McNichol, one of the house's stonemasons. He worked for 60 years on house graves, and his own grave here is easily identifiable, as it is by far the most ornate.
You may be able to smell pies. I can really smell pies. You may be able to smell pies. I can really smell pies.
I can smell them. I think it's pie and beans.
Possibly it's coming from the DC Thomason canteen.
If you traverse to the far left corner from the entrance on Meadowside, you will see a very small building, currently boarded up.
This building was originally constructed for the keeper of the cemetery. Not quite a janitor, but a more ceremonial function to keep a light burning at all times, so when people came to visit the graves, they felt that there was someone looking out for their loved ones on the other side. Inevitably, this led to the tales of the house being haunted, and as time went on and the ghost stories grew, the keeper's duties also included chasing the more malevolent ghosts away. From the mid-19th century, the keeper's title changed and he was listed in council records as the Ghost Repeller. Clearly, he was always a very small man, evidenced by the fact that he didn't need a big house, and the keepers were often found asleep on tombs during the day, having been up all night.
Near the keeper's cottage, you may see the face of the green man sculpted in stone, with his head of foliage, happily vomiting fecundity. It's a pagan fertility symbol, yet one that the church has happily used in their architecture since about 400 AD. In Britain, the image of the green man enjoyed a revival in the 19th century, becoming popular with architects during the Gothic Revival and the Arts and Crafts era, when it appeared as a decorative motif in and on many buildings, both religious and secular. This particular green man was rescued from a demolished tower block, or multi as they're affectionately referred to in Dundee, in the 1960s. It had been incorporated into that building, having been rescued previously in the late 1800s when its original medieval building was being demolished. The green man represents the cycle of spring and new life, and it seems fitting that he has survived the endless cycle of the progress that is knocking down the old and replacing with often ill-thought-out new council developments. It just goes to show, you can't kill hope.
The tree here in the centre of the Howff is where people who had been unlucky in love would come and visit and take some of the berries and make them into a tincture. They would covertly feed this to a person who had let them down in love. It wasn't enough to kill a person, but it would make them so ill that they foresaw their own death, and sometimes that would be enough to get couples back together. Sometimes it wouldn't.
We should mention the seagulls.
There have been reports of seagulls here that are on the larger end of the spectrum for their species. This has been attributed to their taste for bone meal.